Everybody, sorry I'm a few minutes late tonight. Just was going through a few questions and finding different areas where they were. But I'll wait till a few people come online and then I'll start. But I've got a question saved over from last week, a fortnight ago, when I nearly got all the questions done, but I missed one, and that was Jackie's question, which is actually quite a good question and quite a common question, because there's a few people I've dealt with at clinics who have horses who do the same thing, and it's about when you're mounting a horse. So I'll just read Jackie's question out. And so, how can I shape new behaviour in my mare who continues to take one step back when I put my foot in the stirrup to mount? I've tried both pressure, release, repositioning each time, not to avail. She seems to think she needs to put her shoulder level with me, that she was taught when she was started under saddle. How should I change this behaviour? She will stand next to the mounting block untied with no problem. It is as if she's trying to help me in a new way that does not work for me. If I succeed one time, it does not carry over and back to square one. Okay, so there's a few areas there. The most common area is mounting, and especially the mounting block. So mounting is one thing, but when you're standing on a mounting block, you suddenly become way up above your horse. So so what happens is, and it goes back to, may sound like we're going way back to sort of foundation, but there's one big area which I try and sort of encourage people to look at more and focus on is how a horse feels when it just walks past us. Now, what does it mean at a mounting block? A lot of horses kind of square up with us, face up, and a common thing for a horse to do, especially one that's not quite confident on one side or the other, is to get two eyes back on us. So it's very common horses get uncomfortable when we're at a certain point past their shoulder, and they generally try and reposition us by sort of creeping backwards to get us a little bit more in a comfortable position, especially a position like kind of where we might put a bridle on or a halter on or rub them down or something like that. So and I'm not saying this is the problem in your horse, but I'm saying one problem to really address is, just recently I put we will be putting a float loading video, a little bit more of an in-depth float loading video on things to look at before you sort of load a horse and also before you self-load a horse. And one of the big things is getting a horse to walk past you and be completely confident with you at the hip or at the rib cage or at the tail, and being able to move its feet and have one eye on you really comfortably. So before you get on the mounting block, I mean, obviously it might be okay on the ground, but the mounting block's a completely different thing. So so you might have already got the horse to walk past you on one eye and walk past you on the other eye, and it's comfortable at walking past you. And when I say walk past you, I don't mean like walk past you and then suddenly go like, oh, my hand's wrong, I'll use one hand to walk past you and then suddenly go, oh, I feel like I've got to be out a little bit. So a lot of horses walk past you, but they suddenly crab out a little bit because they're a little bit not so confident at walking past. So when I say walk past, a horse can walk past you and walk past you like that and be completely confident and calm with it, and not feel nervous or not have to face up. So that lesson of just getting a horse to walk past you is a really good lesson. And then also follow it up by walking with the horse and walking with it somewhere so you can rub it on the back and rub it on the tail and just walk beside your horse and get to a stage on the ground before you even get onto the mounting block on both sides. You can walk beside your horse and rub it, walk with it, and it's okay. And then the next stage is when you're standing on the mounting block. Obviously, I had a joke the other day, and I think it's going to be my new invention. Like, every horse trainer seems to have a new invention that they sell. And a remote controlled mounting block, you know, one that you can just sort of, you know, drive and follow your horse around, but that's unrealistic. So, well, it's realistic, like everything's realistic, but the reality is getting on a mounting block, we can't follow our horses like we can when we're on the ground and things like that. So maybe we want to just get the horse to walk past us. And at a clinic just recently, we spent a bit of time on a mounting block with a particular horse, and something I'm trying to sort of say to people is, it's not how well the horse stands that we're looking at, it's how well the horse moves. So when we stand on a mounting block and we want to mount our horse, what we've got in our mind is stop, stand, stop, stand. I want you to stand. So we'll do everything in our sort of power to make the horse stand. What I try and get people to think about is, how about we just don't worry about how the horse stands for now. How about we just get it to move? Because we get sort of so preoccupied in wanting the horse to stand that we don't actually look at the way the horse is moving as much. So we sort of go, oh, the horse is just not standing. And that's what we sort of see in our mind. So don't look at the horse is not standing and make it want to stand. How about we help the horse move softly? So what I mean by move softly is get the horse to move so calmly around us that it's got no bother. So if I think a horse is wanting to sort of creep backwards or face up or do anything on either eye, I'll just get it to just gently walk around me and just keep walking around me. And it might take me a little while, but that's the thing. When you're getting up on a mounting block, you're ready to get on that horse and ride, and you know your mind is already ahead of where the horse's mind is. So you got to sort of take a step back and say, hey, you know, how about I just work on how you feel about moving around me? So I would get your horse to move around you softly on the mounting block on either eye and just keep moving and keep moving until that horse can move right close to you all the way around really softly. And I'd just keep asking it to move forward until those shoulders just travel past you, the rib cage travels past you, and the horse just walks around you. And then when the horse walks around you really softly, you'll find when you offer it a stop to stand, a spot to stand, it'll just stand calmly, because a horse is only going to move its feet to get where it wants to be. So if you can continue to move it in a soft way until it kind of doesn't feel the need to move its feet, then it's going to sort of stand softly. So instead of focusing on the stand, focus on the movement, and focus on each eye and how comfortable that horse is at passing on each eye, and then you'll get to the stage that it might stand. So instead of sort of thinking, I want you to stand to get on you, maybe spend a day or two just getting that horse to move around you on a mounting block so it's completely confident on either eye, and they can cross eyes, so you can kind of like lunging, but lunging it with the horse quite close. So I'm just going to be just step around here, and I'm going to step around here. And yeah, I think that'll help Jackie with that. It's I know there's lots of other ways, but this way will kind of, and watch the tension in its eye, watch the expression on your horse, and watch how it feels, and you'll see it kind of loosen up and go, oh yeah, I'm happy with you. At my hip, at my ribs, I'm happy with that. And really look at that. So yeah, okay, it's a good question, Jackie, because it actually comes up a lot, and it's something we constantly and people constantly battle with. So I'm just going back to a new lot of questions because I just had to go back through the phone. And okay, so this is Linda. You might be on there, Linda. Now, this is something interesting because it's a bit in this question. So on the weekend, Chester was kicked, that's Linda's horse, quite severely while doing pairs at an adult riding club show. This is the second time in as many attempts he's never attempted to kick. So why don't other horses like working alongside him? Could it be that he works with his ears back a bit? Mm-hmm. I know that now this, I'm going to have to try and think about this question a little, but I know. So you're not going to risk it again. So Linda's not going to risk doing this again because he doesn't want just a kick out of the blue. What advice would I also give to the owners of the other horses? They want to ensure this doesn't happen again. The horse has never kicked before, but it lost the plot. Okay. Lost the plot when it was with Chester. So I'll try and sort of make sense of that. So Chester was kicked by a horse, and Chester is not the horse. He's not the, doesn't seem the aggressor. He doesn't kick out. He just sort of stays in his little mental place. And the other horses seem to sort of be more aggressive on him, and it's the second time he's been kicked. So what advice would I give Belinda and Chester and to help Chester? And what advice would I give to the people who ride with Chester and their horses, who seem to lose it when they're with him? Yeah, it's an interesting thing, herd psychology, and it's a very hard one. You just can't put it out there for people and go, okay, you know, this is how horses are, and this is the way we should see it. So what I say is, Chester's, so the other thing in the question is, Chester's traveling with his ears back. So by the sounds of the question, he's traveling with his ears back. He's traveling kind of in an unhappy sort of frame of mind. Now, there was an interesting post put on, and I think this is the post that kind of sums it up. And if everyone goes just on the members' Facebook, there was a post put up, and it's a good post because it kind of brings to life the things that we kind of, the human influence in horse behavior and horse psychology. So in a normal environment where the horses are quite, you know, they've got a big space and they've got their natural herd and they've got space to deal with their own stuff and things like that. But in a human environment, we take them into these foreign sort of places and they have to sort of cope in there. So it's the, you know, I'll give you an example. So when I've got some mares that are quite strong and they can be quite opinionated. Now, they'll get on fine with the horses around them. Fine, no worries, come up, scratch, all, everything's fine. Everything's fine. But if I put them in the yards and I've got to sort of do a little bit with other horses and I've made the mistake a couple of times, it's just, oh, yeah, they get on fine, just chuck them in that you know, small yard there. And the next minute, there'll be one horse just absolutely nearly trying to kill the other horses till they're nearly jumping out of the yards, and I've got to go and sort it out, let horses out and sort it out now. So I often think that horses, I know that there's a fence closing those horses in, and I know that the horse that wants to get away would like the fence not to be there, but the horse that's aggressing on the other horse is kind of thinking, well, you're still close, you're in my proximity, get out of my proximity, I don't care about the fence, get out of my space. But the poor horse that's getting chased away doesn't know about the fence. It knows about the fence, it knows more about the fence than the one chasing it. But it the fence is there and it can't escape. So what I kind of see in horses is, and this the blog or the post was about, you know, they can be challenged for food, space, it can be breeding, anything. So there's all these things that cause aggression and dynamics in a herd. And one of the things is space, and space is something that in a normal herd environment that they have, and they can kind of work their bubbles and their boundaries accordingly, but in a small space they can't work it, and then things become hectic. So when you're riding with pairs and with groups of horses, that horse wouldn't naturally be with those horses without some sort of interaction into a herd and out some sort of conversation and things like that. And without that, then you've got a horse that's kind of trapped and obedient, which means he's probably there with his ears back and he's kind of grumpy, and there's something about him obviously that's triggering the other horses, and I can't sort of pick exactly why that's happening. But it could be just that in the way things are, he's naturally going to get sort of, you know, hey, and it depends who you're riding with also. But so Gracie's a horse that I started and sold, but when she was tense with me, and so first of all, education and how the horse feels underneath us is very important, because that some of their demeanor and their natural presence is how they feel underneath us when we're riding them in groups. So an example would be, and I'll go back to Gracie, what I was trying to say is she was a mare that was very upset underneath people and me, being the one who rode her the most. And she kind of would be like, oh, you know, all this sensory stuff. And that sensory stuff would kind of be on little overload. So that'd be like the worry cup half full already. Then when I put her with horses, it was like she was ducking and diving. And, you know, every time a horse would sort of look at her, or back up if I was riding behind a horse, would back up. Instead of kind of getting a bit of a spook thinking the horse might kick her, she'd kind of jump out of the way a mile, or if she's drinking out of a trough and two horses came in, she'd be out of there like 100 miles an hour. And it was because of the sensory overload she already had by carrying me. So some horses carry tension because they're underneath us, and that tension carries through. Now, if that tension could be an unhappy kind of tension, then the other horse feels that, and there's kind of a dynamic there that causes possibly another horse to kick them. So that obviously is something to be addressed. But some horses are naturally a little bit, you know, pushed down. They're a little bit different. So horses kind of see them as different, and I can't sort of point exactly why that might be the case. But I would say give your horses more time. I don't think putting horses square together and making them ride together is a healthy thing, because you have to let horses, give them a little time to kind of talk to each other. It's, you know, because your leg pushing your horse over that other horse, your rein making that horse ride beside that other horse, is just the same as when I was talking about putting all those horses in around now that was too small. The fence had no idea that those horses needed to work some stuff out. The fence was just there. So you got to listen to your horses and say, hey, maybe we should just let them ride around each other, and it's just like a horse getting used to a horse float or a person or anything, like just work on their bubbles and their boundaries until they kind of just get relaxed, and then they'll come in together and they probably won't kick each other. But if you push them up together and you fence them in like and box them in like that, they will kick. And for the advice on the person who has the horses, so we don't want this to happen again, then they should kind of listen to their horses too, and listen to sort of, you know, and maybe work on that before you sort of start riding pairs. And, you know, I think pairs should be something you develop with horses, not just put them straight in. And there's some horses that never kick once they're under saddle and they get over it, but there are other dynamics that you can't kind of change. And there's, yeah, but really listening to them and then getting, but the biggest thing is getting them confident underneath you, because that confidence carries through. Sorry. Next question. I'll go to another one because I'll pass this through to Jenny, I think. There's a few different questions in different areas that I'm getting, because they came through on different spots. So because of my computer genius, I'm passing it to Jenny to help me out on this one. Thank you. Now there's a question I answered I answered it for Jenny, so I think Jenny, you might be on board there tonight, but I answered it, and it was about thinking time and tying up. I did a long in-depth answer on that, and I think everybody saw that, but it was about, you know, thinking time. And yeah, thinking time is important, because horses, not that they go out and necessarily think, but I think resting time is important between lessons, and they need that rest time to kind of, like people need a holiday, horses need that resting time. It means they come back to the next lesson. But I'm a strong believer that the thinking happens while we're working with them, more so. So, you know, the tying up, the, you know, tying them up to think about what they just learnt and things like that. I don't think it's necessary. I've worked for so many years just putting a horse back out in the paddock, and that was their thinking time, going back out in the herd and being a horse again and having their happy time. And then they come in and they come in fresh and I come in fresh and we all sort of work on that. So if that was a quick question, but I've already answered it on through Facebook. So Ellie, my young mare is starting to get aggressive around people when she's eating. Any suggestions for how to get her calm enough for me to be able to rug her, etc., while she's eating? Well, I'm a little bit horses are going to tell another horse to go away when they're eating if they want to eat that food. There's a time that we should pull back a little bit and say, you know, how much obedience do we want? If our horse is happy with us, then maybe they'll let us rug them. And I think when it comes to rugging a horse when they're eating, there's a time when a horse might start to get real happy with you. But there's a time also that just let them eat, rug them at a different time. I'm not going to try and help you with helping your horse get better at being rugged while it eats. To me, eating is time off, and that's the time you give your horse to eat its food. And, you know, just think about that. And us coming in and annoying it as something in normal herd psychology is going to make a horse kind of go, hang on, get out of my space, I'm eating. Because horses become very protective of their food, and so once upon a time, you know there's grass and they. But in a lot of herd environments now, or horse environments, not know, because some horses aren't in a herd, is their food is it's in that little bowl like we eat, you know, like it's right there, and it becomes more of a protective thing because it's you know. So I kind of say to people, don't annoy your horse too much while it's eating. I will answer this question a little bit more in depth for other people and other interests, but if a horse starts getting aggressive when you've got the food, it's your food. Until you give it to them, it's your food. So while it's in the bucket, whatever you take that food out, you own that food, just like if you were the horse that had that food. Now, if you've ever seen a horse allow a horse to come and eat with it, like, it'll get cranky and chase it away, but the other horse does its little sort of, you know, begging and talking and kind of, you know, does its little thing. And then eventually that other horse will come in, and then soon they'll be both eating out of the same feed trough together. But it's a conversation that happens, and it kind of takes a little while, but it happens. So while I've got the food, if my horse starts getting aggressive at me, then I'll change that thought very quickly. I might carry a flag in or something like that and say, no, this is my food. I haven't offered it to you yet. So what's mine, it's mine. And that's the way horses kind of are. And that's the way I think we should be. But once we give that food to them, listen, I just let them eat. I walk away. And maybe you can rug your horse before food or something like that. And then but just let it eat. Let it have its time eating. You know, I could offer you ways to help it, but I think just giving it that time, but also making it respect that when you've got the food, you've got it. That's your food until you've given it to them. Now, if you want to get your horse a little better at eating food with you and you in its space, then you put the food down, you don't walk away and come back. You say, you come and share my food. I'm going to stand here with you while you eat my food. And maybe if you want to be close to your horse while it's eating, you get it to come in and make it feel like sharing your food instead of you plonking the food and then coming, then the horse owning the food and you coming back into its space again. Maybe if you wanted to do that, maybe try that. And that just gets the horse more understanding that, you know, I'm coming in and I'm respectful of you and the food that you're sharing with me. And yeah, but going in and annoying them and doing lots while they're eating, I think sometimes it's your eat time, or let's do something. I like to keep that equine together. I mean, sorry, on their own, so that they eat on their own. Constance, I'd like to know whether you have some advice for what to do when a horse is scared about cows. My mare tends to bolt when she sees cows. Yes. So we used to catch a fair few wild goats when we were in Glenelg, and we used to run a few wild goats and put a few, you know, bull billies over them and things like that. And the one thing I noticed is horses were scared of goats. And I used to ride a lot of young horses, and if I wasn't paying attention to my dogs, and one dog would slip away, especially a young dog, and if I was kind of trying to manage a horse with a dog that wasn't so obedient, then it might pick up a mob of goats and bring it over the hill towards the horse. The horse goes to take off, and we're in all sorts of trouble. But I know you did the thing that, like Constance, the thing that I always go back to is firstly, and you probably, now that I've met you when I was in Germany, and is the if the horse is calm underneath you, then everything else is going to be better. So that you can address in so many ways, and how the horse, you know, connects with you, all that. There's you know, could talk about that for a long time, but how the horse feels about how it works underneath you is highly important. And if you've built that island of with me is a good place. So,
excuse me.
So when you come to sort of working with, you know, in foreign environments with animals and scary things around buildings and all sorts of things, your horse is going to get really scared. So if it's got an island underneath you, so if it feels connected with you and feels that you're a leader and you're the one that makes it feel better when it's anxious, then that's going to be a big help. Now, like, you know, you could go and stand like a tree and all the things that I sort of teach to get that horse to connect and breathe on you and make it feel like, and then when you're under the saddle, you know, you all those things that, you know, you might walk a horse a few steps, and if it disconnects, you might wait with it. And then when you feel a connection, the horse goes, oh, geez, actually, I connected with you and I feel better. So all those things are important. And if you don't have that, then cows, anything's going to make it double scared. And it's going to want to bolt, because it's not only bolting from the cows, it's kind of bolting not knowing that you're there to help it. So it's heard still maybe back at the barn or something like that. So if it's herds with you, then that's going to be a little easier. So that side of it's very important. So, but what I try and do with cattle and anything that's live and moving is push bikes. You know, push bikes are a big scary thing for horses. It's not easy if you can't set this up. Like, obviously a lot of things you can try and set up to make it easy, but if you see some cattle, excuse me, if you see some cattle, mate, you know, cattle can be curious, and you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, once upon a time, you know, people riding around cattle, or the cattle can be very curious. So yeah, and especially young cattle, I run up to a fence and I all want to see, like, what's that? And I'll kind of run towards the horse, and kind of, in a lot of ways, cattle will smother a horse too much. So because of that smothering, the horse gets panicked, because the cattle are just, they just want to come up and sort of check things out. But the horse just goes, that's way too much. So somehow you got to get the cattle to run away a little. So if you can get the cattle to run away, then the horse becomes a little braver. So if you can follow something, like I teach people to follow the flag or follow the worry, if the worry's going away, then that's when the curiosity and the confidence comes out in the horse. So if you can maybe, I don't know, obviously I can't set everything up. You might be just riding towards cattle that run up to the fence and your horse freaks out. But somehow, if it's a real bother with your horse, then maybe you've got to try and set it up someday so you can be leading your horse and you can kind of chase the cattle off a little bit, especially in the same paddock, and then say, look, we can scare the cattle and they can run away, and we'll follow them. And the horse goes, oh, I'm following them. And while they're moving and creating, it's the same as drawing the horse, but the reason you walk back is to make them create space, and the horse has more confidence more space to think, and it gives them more confidence. So when the cattle walk away, the horse goes, well, where are they going? they're going away, they're not crowding me. So whatever that's happening, you're going to get a chance for that horse to look and be interested in the cattle and start to pay attention to them. So if you can encourage the cattle to move away somehow, and then if it's safer on the ground, if your horse is really bolting, and just walk towards the cattle, because you might be able to be scarier and say, hey, get away. And they'll move away a little bit and you just walk along, and the horse will be like, we're pushing them along, we're controlling them. And they'll build confidence, and then you can do it under saddle if it's, unsafe under saddle at the start. But as long as you can get that stock to move away and you can get that horse to just sort of follow and track, then they'll get confident. But if you've got those curious cattle galloping up to a fence, and then the horse will be like, crikey, one of those things, and I won't have a chance to do it. So I hope that helps, Constance. And otherwise, let the horse have a little space and just spend a bit of time just watching and just turning one eye to the other, like if the cattle are just hanging in a herd on in a corner or something, you just walk past with one eye and the other eye, and just every time that horse gets a little curious, you just loosen up and let it be curious. And Kelly, you've got two questions. You've answered your question, but George. Now, George is on one of the videos about when I got his focus at a clinic, and Kelly's had some really good results with him, and quite amazing results in some way. But George has become very culty again, and he's regressed a lot. He's chasing his paddock companion. He's always looking for the polo mares, and he's galloping around the paddock for no reason. He's very unsettled. When I do any work with him, his mind is continually leaving. Do I have any ideas? What I might be able to try? I'm not sure he's even going to be a reliable horse. And that's when I first met you, Kelly. That was what you thought. Is he going to be a reliable horse? And I can see why you were concerned about him. And yes, I don't know the answer to that. But I have to read the second part. Having said that, he seemed a lot more settled today when excuse me when I worked him. I did the work you did with the mare in Germany. So the mare in Germany was a similar focus work, but I gave the horse a little more space to just think a little and get out there a little. Whereas with when I first met George, I gave him a little space, but quite quickly I gained his focus and said, hey, I need you to centre. I cast him out, let him wander a bit. As soon as I picked up on the feel on the lead rope, he would come back to me. He has been quite stiff and sticky, though, in his front end previously. Letting him stop and rest a few times next to me, then after a few times, I got him to keep walking past. He only had one giraffe moment, but settled, came back quite quickly. I'm not sure if I can make the talk tonight. So Kelly, this is the last question, and it's a good question for everybody, because it's hard. Horses are horses, and I know, I think Amanda, yeah, I can see Amanda, you're watching. Sometimes we kind of do everything we can with horses, and they've got personalities, and what I do in one lesson, I might change the next lesson, and I know you've got a fair feel on a horse, Kelly, with George, it's the paddock environment. To be honest, I was amazed that he settled down so much in the paddock from the groundwork that you did with him. I was amazed that it kind of came around like that, and I think there was something in his life changed, and he became more connected to you and felt better about that. So other things kind of changed in the way he floated, in the way he paddocked and things like that. I can't answer your question, Kelly. It's sort of like you've got to view the horse to kind of, but I'd say there's probably things in there that maybe sometimes you've got to gain his focus a little more. Sometimes you've got to give him some more time just to sort of settle and get his bearings a little bit. There's so many intricate little things in it that I think you've got to try and read and understand. And in regards to the cultiness, the fact that he was really culty, then he settled down and he's got culty again in the paddock. If it's something to do with you and the relationship he's got with you, there's help the amount of tension and stuff. Yeah, so if it's a certain amount of tension and it's caused that more aggressive cultiness, there's obviously something that may have changed in when you're working with him and he's becoming more disconnected and more anxious. I'd have to watch you work him, unfortunately, on that to work out. But sorry, Kelly, I can't answer your question completely. I'd like to be able to, but without watching him and without watching you with him, it's a really hard one, and I can't just put my finger on an answer. I've got all the answers in my mind of thinking if I was watching, I'd probably say this could change, that could change. But to be honest, it's in a written question like that, I can't answer it, and I'd like to. But maybe, Kelly, if you get back online and you watch this video, could you give me a little bit more in depth of what you've been doing and where you're up to with him, and then I might be able to help you out and, you know, a bit more in depth of what's thing, whether it's on an email or something like that, and I might be able to give you a bit more of a hand on that. But thanks everyone for coming online. I think I've got most of the questions. I don't think I've missed any. I'll just double check without losing everything I've got here. No, I think that's all the questions, but thanks people for coming online. And yeah, I'll see you again in a fortnight. Off to Perth tomorrow for a couple of 2 day clinics, and yeah, so keeping pretty busy. But yeah, anyway, thanks everyone, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.